This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu salam ala Rasulihi al-Kareem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Okay, last lesson we went over the apostate tribes who were around Medina and who were thinking about, or some who actually attacked Medina, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu fended them off. He expelled them from around that area. Now, going back to the map I gave you, this map, actually, no, it's this map here. If you remember this map, there was a large portion of the Arab Peninsula which had actually rebelled, okay? Now, until now, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had only dealt with those who were just around Medina, that vicinity. But really, all of this area had rebelled, besides a few pockets here and there. Mecca, Medina, Taif, and as you can see, the green portion here, and a few other places here. Now, this was also an issue. Why? Because for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when the Sahaba came to him and they said to him, Abu Bakr, there's no need for you to fight everybody. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, أَيُنْقَصُ الدِّينُ وَأَنَا حَيْ? Is it possible that the deen can be decreased and Abu Bakr is alive? Meaning, decreased from what it was in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he said, if somebody is not ready to give a string, a piece of rope, which he gave in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in zakat, I, Abu Bakr, will fight them. So now Abu Bakr has dealt with those who are around him. Now what he does is that he wants to fight everybody in this area who has rebelled. So you can imagine, subhanAllah, he's now taking the fight to them. So the first thing Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu does, that he sends letters to all the tribe leaders. So in these letters, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gives them dawah to return back to Islam for those who weren't paying the zakat, that they need to pay their zakat. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also says to them that if you do not come back, if you carry on with your rebellion, then the consequences will be evil for you in this dunya and the hereafter. And then he goes on to say that we will carry on fighting you until our last breath. So his ultimatum is quite clear, that either you return or either we will fight you until the last breath. Now, one of the benefits of this was that by sending this letter out, it gave enough time for the army of Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu to come back. And subhanAllah, the army of Osama bin Zayd, although he was only 17 or 18 years old, was very successful. Now, within the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, three prophets popped up. There was a prophet called Musaylamah, which we will speak about, and a prophet called Tulayha, and a prophet called Aswad al-Ansi. And what these guys obviously wanted was that they realized that within a period of 23 years, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam became the ruler of all the area. He had thousands, hundreds of thousands of followers. So if we claim prophet, then maybe we will attain exactly the same thing. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam within his lifetime had a dream that he's wearing these two gold bangles, and then he blows, and one of these gold bangles ends up in Najd, and the other gold bangle ends up in Yemen. So the Messenger of Allah gave the interpretation that from these two places, two false prophets will emerge. So from Yemen, a man came, his name was known as Aswad al-Ansi. Now let me just give you a big background to what was happening in Yemen in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just after Sulh Hudaybiyah. So Sulh Hudaybiyah was when the Muslims had a treaty with the people of Makkah, the people of Quraysh. Now, apparently, subhanAllah, this treaty, the Muslims conceded on nearly every single point. So if you looked at this treaty, it seemed like the Muslims had actually lost out. But when the Messenger of Allah was going home from the Sulh Hudaybiyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. Indeed, we have descended upon you a manifest victory. So now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has this treaty with the people of Quraysh. Now, the biggest obstacles in the dawah were the people of Quraysh. Many people wanted to embrace Islam, but they were waiting. Who's going to win this battle? Are the Muslims going to win or are the Quraysh going to win? So now this freed up the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his biggest headache, which was the Quraysh. So what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did now, he began to send letters. So he sent letters to different kings, leader of Egypt, leader of the Byzantines. And amongst them was also the leader of the superpower of the day, which were the Persians. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him a letter. His name was Perwiz. And when the letter reached him, he read this letter in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent. He said, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, from the Prophet Muhammad to the Kisra, ruler of Persia, Azimul Furs. Look, here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving him dawah. Yeah? The Messenger of Allah doesn't say, from Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, to the Ra'isul Kafirin, to the leader of the Kuffar. What does he do? He uses words. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ wants him to come closer to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not interested in winning the argument. We are interested in winning the man. Many of us, when we do our dawah, it's actually we're on an ego trip. We're not worried about the hidayat of that person. As long as you and I win the argument, it doesn't matter. We win the argument, you lose the man. Sometimes you show a bit of humility. You may not win the argument in the way you want to win it, but you win the man. And the man, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, he sent the letter ila azimur furs to the king of the Roman, to the king of the Persians. And then he says in this, blessed are those who follow guidance and put faith in Allah and his messenger. I bear witness that none is worthy of worship except Allah. He is the one and has no partners, and Muhammad is his servant and messenger. I call you to Allah, as I am the prophet sent to you all mankind, to warn those alive and to establish the truth in the eyes of the unbelievers. Accept Islam and you will be secure. In case you reject it, you shall bear the sin of all your followers, of all the Zoroastrians. Meaning, if you embrace Islam, then all those possibly underneath you will embrace Islam, you will get the reward for them. But if you become the obstacle, then nobody else will embrace Islam, and you will get the sins of all those who did not embrace Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends this letter. Now remember, Persians are the superpower of the day. These were the people on the Battle of Khandaq. The Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba, a time will come, we will take Yemen. A time will come, we will take the Byzantines. A time will come that we will take the superpower of the day. And they had this White House in Iraq, which was their capital, Mada'in. So we will take the White Palace. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now sends a letter to the leader of those who lived in that white palace, the Kisra. So he looks at this letter and he tears it up and he throws it away. The Sahabi that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent was Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu. So he comes back and he informs the Messenger of Allah that when I gave him the letter, he took it and he tore it up. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Mazzakallahu mulka." May Allah tear up his kingdom like he tore up my letter. But see, anybody giving somebody like the Kisra dawah is an insult. So what does he do? He sends a message to his governor in Yemen. Yemen was ruled by the Persians. A man called Badhan, who was also Persian. And he says to him, send your men to this man Muhammad and bring Muhammad to me. How dare he give me dawah? Okay. So Badhan, because Yemen is close by, he sends two of his most strongest and his most powerful soldiers. So first they go to Mecca, and the people of Mecca say, no, he's in Medina. He's no longer here, he's in Medina. So now they go to Medina, and the people of Quraysh are happy. Oh, Muhammad's game's over. He's messed with the wrong guy now, the Kisra. So how many people do they send? They don't send an army, they send only two people. So his two soldiers, powerful soldiers, huge men, big moustache, shaven hair, come to Medina. And they go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they say to the Messenger of Allah, the Kisra's calling you, you better get ready. And if you reject, then you know what the Kisra is made of. He will kill you, he will destroy your qawm, and he will ruin your country. So the Messenger of Allah hardly looks at them. And he says to them, what's all this much about? This big much. What's all it about? And they say, oh, our king, our ruler, our lord has commanded us to have this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my Rabb has commanded me to trim the moustache and to lengthen the beard. And then the narrations mention that these two powerful soldiers, Persian superpower, their main commanders, are shaking in the company of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they're sweating. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah granted me ru'ub, that people feel my ru'ub, they feel my presence, my aura, and those who are my enemy, my terror, to the distance of an entire month, a month's travel away. So they say, what's your answer? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, come back tomorrow. So the next day they come back. The Messenger of Allah said to them, go away. There will be no meeting with the Kisra. Nobody will meet the Kisra. They said, what do you mean? He said, your Kisra is dead. So now they go back to Yemen and they tell Badhan that this is what happened. And this man said that the Kisra is dead. Now it was impossible that the news could have reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that quick. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Badhan realized that this is a true prophet. And then Badhan embraced the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the background of Yemen. So what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did is that he kept Badhan in charge of Yemen. He was a Muslim now. Persian descent Muslim. Approximately when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from Hajjatul Wada, so he came from the Hajj, that was the time Badhan passed away, and then his son Shahr became in charge of Yemen. Now it was approximately that time where Aswad al-Ansi popped up. So who was Aswad al-Ansi? His real name was Ablah bin Ka'ab. His nickname was the possessor of the veil, because he used to wear a veil. And also he was known as Dhul Himar, the owner of the donkey, because he could make this donkey do some funny tricks. But he was also a sorcerer. He knew witchcraft. So this he used to quite an extent later on once he was propagating his religion. Physically, he was known to be very, very strong. Complexion-wise, he was dark in complexion. That's why he was known as Aswad al-Ansi. And the interesting thing is that normally you have a Jibra'il comes. This guy didn't have Jibra'il. He had two angels according to him. One was called Sahiq and the other one was called Shaqiq. So these were the names of his angels. They write actually these were shaitans that he had in his control, which would tell him certain things of the unseen. And this was one of his major ways of actually controlling the masses. Now, were there any Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Yemen in Sana'a? Yes. Who was there? Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu and Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. If you remember the famous story where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took Mu'adh ibn Jabal to the outskirts of Medina. And then he told him, "Oh Mu'adh, possibly after this meeting, you will never meet me again." And then he told Mu'adh that he loved him. This is where the Messenger of Allah was sending him. He sent him to Yemen. So Aswad al-Ansi, when he started off his dawah, he first took Najran, then he took Sana'a, he killed the governor of Sana'a, Shahr, and then he married his wife Azad. His tribe, his own tribe embraced, you know, the religion of Aswad al-Ansi, but also the vast majority of the people in Yemen also embraced. Why? Because they had this tribal loyalty system, where if one of your leaders embraces the religion, generally they all go that way. And because he was from Yemen, all those, the vast majority of the people in Yemen now followed his religion. Those who remained, very interesting, those who remained firm on the deen were actually the Persians. So the Persian royalty remained firm on the deen, but the vast majority of the Arabs actually became followers of his deen. Now, Aswad al-Ansi, whenever he would take a place, if the person did not believe in his religion, he would kill them. So there's a story about a man called Nu'man. He presented Nu'man the religion. Nu'man refused to accept his religion. So he chopped Nu'man up slowly, slowly. But alhamdulillah, Nu'man remained firm on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's also the story of Muslim al-Hawlani, very famous story of Muslim al-Hawlani. Muslim Hawlani was a very renowned individual, very respected. So when he presented his religion to him, he refused. So he said, okay, what we're going to do, we're going to make an example of this guy. So what they did is that they gathered wood. They said, we're going to burn him, but we're going to burn him in front of people so people know if they don't accept the deen of Aswad, this will be the outcome. So this is what they do. So they gather a lot of wood. They call the people. They light the fire, they throw him in. La ilaha illallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the doer of all things, ensured that the fire did not burn him. Now the people are watching this, so many of them are turning away from his religion. So some of the advisors said, get this guy out of here. By the time it finishes, everybody will go back towards Islam. So he took Muslim al-Hawlani out of the fire, and then they expelled Muslim al-Hawlani from Sana'a. So Muslim al-Hawlani now goes to Medina. By this time, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. So when he reaches Medina, he goes into the masjid and he meets Umar ibn Khattab. Now Umar ibn Khattab had heard about Muslim bin Hawlani but had never met him. So he said, where have you come from? He says, Yemen. He said, oh, have you got any news about our brother called Muslim bin Hawlani? He said, I am that man, Muslim. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu takes him to meet Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who was the Khalifa at the time. And then Umar radiallahu anhu makes his dua. He says, Allah, all praise be to Allah, who has kept me alive to meet a man who has fulfilled the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. Why? Because Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam was also thrown into the fire. Now, so the Muslims now decided that they wanted to fight Aswad al-Ansi. So inshallah we leave it to here, and then we will carry on with the issue and the prophethood of Aswad al-Ansi and how the Muslims actually dealt with him inshallah in the next series. Barakallahu feekum, Zakumullah khairan, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Zakumullah khairan for watching, and please do not forget to watch the next episode. And inshallah, with your du'as, there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.